Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Sundays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., Monday mornings at 1 a.m. We do stream live at those times at richarddugan.com. There is a link there that you can click on. And we also place the podcast on the radio show's page of said website, richarddugan.com, as well as SoundCloud and iTunes. And we also link to our guests' website. We're going to give those to you shortly. We will be linked to them as well, so we encourage you to go there. And as I've said it over and over and over again, please go to their websites and investigate, research, read what they have to offer, contact them if they have something that resonates with you. Do me a favor. If it doesn't resonate with you, don't contact them. Wait until it does. The time will be right, I guarantee you, when it is time for you to touch base with the guests that we have on the program. We encourage you to do that. I think that we offer you a lot of very interesting folks with a lot of great concepts, ideas, philosophies that can certainly help. I've honestly been trying to, I joke about how this program is my therapy, but, and it's darn cheap, let me tell you. But quite honestly, they do help me as I work through my days and weeks and months. And every person that I have on here gives me a new insight into self. And sometimes it's not a lot of fun to get that insight, but tough. That's what it's all about. Today is no different. Today, we're going to have a lot of fun with our special guest, Kathy Kirk. Kathy Kirk has a couple of companion works having to do with first of all, a Messenger mini book complete with free online course. thought there was an apostrophe there. Well done. It is a story of applied spirituality. I'm wondering if there's applied spirituality 101 and 2.0 and so on and so, and maybe a master's or PhD in that. Also, along with that is another little, and it is a little book, called The Earthling's Quick Start Guide, Master Operating Your Unit on Earth. And that's your physical body, I would think. But you know what? Rather than guessing, we'll find out exactly what that's all about. It's a refresher course in applied spirituality. And my guest, Kathy Kirk, thank you so much for joining us on the program.
You're welcome, Richard. Thanks for having me. This is going to be fun.
I think so. And it actually not only sounds like a course, but you obviously make available a free online course of applied spirituality, which is really, really cool, because a lot of us, sometimes we don't feel like we have a lot of time and energy to, attend a formal class. I have to say that I don't know why this came into my mind, but there's a great Woody Allen joke, a comedian of the 60s, 70s, and a filmmaker as well. And he was talking to his audience on a stand-up bit, and he said that he was in college, and he took a course in Metaphysics 101, and he was kicked out of the class because he was found cheating on a metaphysical test. He was caught looking into the soul of the kid next to him. This is something that I know we're all trying to do. It's like I said before in this at the front end of this program, but also in other programs, that we really need to get in touch with our inner self. We need to know who we are, and it isn't a question of asking Kathy Kirk, Kathy, who are we? We have to find a way. Well, I'm going to ask you that question anyway, but we have to find that out. And it doesn't do any good to travel the world trying to find oneself, because wherever you go, there you are. So why not stay where you are? Save the money. Although traveling is fun, don't get me wrong. Save the money, save the expense, save the time and energy, at least for the time being. There are other ways of doing that. And that's really kind of what we're talking about here, isn't it?
It is, because anything that's unresolved, you're just, you know, lug around with you, like it's called baggage for a reason, you know. So you're kind of right. You might as well stay put and shift your awareness of who you are before you try to change your external. The idea is that things that are in the subconscious that you're unaware of are creating the physical experiences that you're having. And unless you bring these up to the conscious mind and love them into oneness, you just keep pulling in source energy, and then it gets distorted through these unconscious filters. And it aberrates. You know, you have bad relationships, or you have ill health, or you have, you know, something unwanted, let's say that. And but it's all within you, so it is about doing the work within yourself first. You ask the question, who are we? That's a very long journey to that realization. The realization, once you get through all the subconscious layers of the human ego mind and the psyche, there is only awareness. There is only consciousness. So if you are of the mind that consciousness is source, is God, is self, then that's who you are. Formless. You are the same awareness. I remember when I was about, 7 or 8 years old, I remember asking my dad, I said, where was I before I was here? And he looked at me like, you know, he didn't understand the question. But I understood what I was asking. It was my awareness was now here on earth in this body. And I was asking him, where was I before I was here on earth in this body? Mm-hmm. So that's the awareness that you are, and we all are. And then we choose different consciousness destinations. When I first started Applied Spirituality, I had this cartoon in my head, and it was about the cosmic travel office. So this is when you're not in form anymore. You know, let's say you finished a life, and now you're in pure consciousness. And I had this image of a cosmic travel office. Mm-hmm. And you know how when you go into a travel agent, they have all these brochures in the racks, you know, and you can go to Jamaica or whatever, and you can go through the flyer. So now we're in the non-physical cosmic travel office with all these flyers, and these are consciousness destinations that we can go to. And most of them are non-physical or partially physical or whatever, depending on what level of resonance we have. And then we see this brochure that says Earth, you know, and it has pictures of rivers and mountains and oceans and land and people with bodies and plates of food, and everybody starts oogling it, you know, because when you're in non-form, you don't get to have a body, right? So everybody wants to come to Earth. And so we all go through this brochure, and we're drooling, and we all want to go. And then there's this big arrow that says, read the fine print. And the fine print says, you can only enjoy the Earth third, fourth dimensional experience if you awaken and remember who you are and don't live in fear. So in other words, in well-being on the other side, in consciousness, we think, no problem. You know, we can wake up easy peasy and enjoy the earthly experience. Hmm. So this vastness of consciousness that we are kind of squeezes itself down into a physical body-mind form that we think of as human. And now we are at the farthest outpost from source energy that we can get, with only a fraction of our true self realized or available to us until we start expanding our consciousness in the body. So right now, that's where we are. We are in a huge expansion. We are in an evolution of mankind physically and emotionally and mentally from a third, fourth dimensional reality into fifth within the span of a generation, actually, like 36 years. This is unheard of and unprecedented. And it's like the next level of evolution of the human race. So we're expanding in consciousness, and everything that we create physically is the result of consciousness. So you can kind of think about that in a really interesting way, an obvious way. Whatever consciousness you hold is sort of the level that you create at. I'm sure you've heard this before. But it's very true. You look at people who live in a third world country, let's say. They don't have the same consciousness that someone who's grown up and been fostered in a first world reality. So that just tells you consciousness is made up of everything that you think, feel, believe. And until you expand that to understand everything or to experience everything, which is source viewpoint from the highest viewpoint, those are the levels of expansion. So now we're moving into fifth, which is the level of consciousness that Jesus contained or realized in his lifetime. Krishna, Buddha, many other ascended masters. It's the ascension of a consciousness. It's not. It's being able to contain all that is in your awareness without being triggered. And the triggers are what are holding us back. They're limiting beliefs and of our earthly existence in third, fourth dimensions of lack, limitations, whatever. We're clearing all those out and moving into oneness and Christed consciousness, which is we're all one, and one being this field of consciousness. We all that's where we all originate from. So the journey right now for everybody is to go through whatever you're observing or experiencing in this world that triggers you, bring that wounded, fragmented piece of your soul into your conscious awareness, love it unconditionally and with compassion until it reunifies into your own soul, comes back home, like bringing everybody home for dinner, and now it's not triggered anymore. So you are gaining the consciousness of Source one wound at a time. And nothing that is wounded or a third or fourth dimensional consciousness goes into fifth. Nothing. It cannot, because third and fourth is duality other than oneness, and fifth dimension is oneness. So this is a very precise time. It's a very exacting time, as you can see out in the world. Everything's polarizing. Every bad piece of news that you can think of is coming into the newspaper. But it's not just globally, it's just sort of mirroring what is coming up within each and every one of us that needs resolved and reunified, because duality is a part of third, fourth. It grows the soul, it grows character, it grows its nobility, it grows its love, capacity to love. In third, you're just sort of pretty much survival. Dog eat dog, everyone's out for themselves. And if you are in separation from Source or your real self, you darn well better create an ego that can maneuver and keep you safe on Earth, and that's ego run amok. So that's the world we're looking at. So everything comes from the level of your consciousness. So if you look at the level of what's going on Earth right now, the level of pollution, the hatred, the judgment, whatever. That's what gets produced from a third, fourth dimensional consciousness. Mm. Now, when you move into fifth, without any of those negative beliefs or other than, and we move into oneness, it'll be a world of love based on oneness, so everyone understands that, you know, if I cheat you, I've just cheated myself, or if I kill this bug, I've just killed part of myself. And so it's all in consciousness right now, and everything that you realize and integrate now from separation consciousness and bring into oneness, you'll start to see your whole world shift in front of your own eyes. it might not shift in the major world, but it's going to shift in your world. You're going to be living a different reality than everyone else does.
Well, it's interesting the way you put that, because first of all, and our listeners know this of me, I hate duality. I am so frustrated with duality, because the ancient wisdom teachings tell us where we come from, the one. The ancient wisdom teachings tell us where we're going to, the one. What the hell are we doing here in this dual world? I have not been able to get the kind of answer that satisfies me, that says, okay, I don't need to ask a question anymore. It's okay. I'm good with that. Because,
you know, I think it's a really good question.
Yeah.
I have asked it myself. And in fact, when I see how cruel and how much suffering is in a third, fourth dimensional reality, I've often referred to Earth as the ghetto of the galaxy, you know. Oh, yeah, let's go vacation in Southeast San Diego. You know, I don't know anybody that says that. So, but how did it happen? And that's a part of the disclosures that are going to be coming forth. There are different theories. One that I have heard, and I'm not saying that I know this firsthand at this point. I don't have a knowing of this, but I suspect it to be so, that we were, humans were at some point a fifth dimensional civilization, and then something happened, and we evidently all agreed to quote-unquote fall. And so if you kind of use those words and trace some of the more recent scriptures, in recent, I'm saying within the last 13,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
There's a story of a fall in almost every tradition.
Yeah.
So evidently, I'm certain something happened, but since we all agreed on it in non-physical, one theory is that Source wants to know itself in every form. In other words, if you think of Source, let's say at the 12th dimension, and it's only beingness, and if there is no other, it has no way to know itself. It just is. It's just pure beingness. So when it starts to differentiate out from that, then you have Father, Mother, God, and you have, by different names, Holy Spirit, and you know, and it just keeps, and you would get a hierarchy. So if you consider Source being a beautiful whole diamond at 12th dimension, consider it fragmenting into infinite number of shards of this beautiful diamond. And down at the third, fourth dimensional level, which is the farthest level you can get and be self-reflective, let's say, you know, the plant or an animal, that's just why I said it's the farthest consciousness destination from Source that you can get.
Yeah.
So you play different games, and if you understand yourself as pure consciousness and eternal and immortal, then it's all a game on the other side. In other words, we think this is real, and it is real to us, but it's for the purpose of experience. It's just having adventure. And they can be icky adventures, and they can be lovely adventures, but they're just adventures. They're just experience.
Yeah.
And the more you experience, the more wisdom you gain. Your soul grows in wisdom. So the theory is that Source wanted to experience itself in complete separation, and we took this game as far as it could be taken without actually not having any way back.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, and it is one of those it is one of those issues that will never be resolved until we get to the other side. I jokingly say about understanding and awareness of things as they are, in spite of my level of frustration, that I worked for 15 years for a Christian radio station back in the 80s, early 90s. And in the last 25 years, many of those ministers and pastors on the national level, the televangelists, have passed away. After spending years and years and years and years of just railing against everything they could think of, and some of them got very myopic and railed against just one thing, to which I would say from Shakespeare, "Me dost think thou protesteth too much." But when they passed away, and I remember when Reverend Jerry Falwell passed away, knowing of his, because we used to broadcast one of his programs, the Old Time Gospel Hour was the name of his program. And I said, well, at least now he knows the truth, in spite of everything that he was doing in this life. And I kind of feel that way, that when we do pass over, we're gonna have a better understanding of, you know, what we experienced, yes, but also we're also going to have a better understanding in a conscious way, I hope. That's my hope, because again, I don't know. I don't know for sure of the way things really, really, really are, in that what you just described, you know, that we made this contract, that we agreed to these certain conditions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And to that end, I've heard this phrase, I'd like you to comment on this, that those of us who are here today are considered on the other side, we're considered heroes, you know, because we chose to come in at this time.
Yep, this is true. Let me just go back and comment a little bit about what you were saying. I think in the Bible, someplace it says, Jesus said, or is reported to us, said, "In my Father's house there are many mansions."
Mm-hmm.
So, source can, and we are source then, because we choose our consciousness destinations, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, we are the creators of our reality, and within our reality are many other realities. For example, let's say the Christian reality is different than a spiritual reality, is different from an agnostic or intellectual reality. Everybody's their own universe. So within the wholeness of God are all these realities, because that's what we are. We're creator energy, and we're always creating a new adventure. So if we don't have, in a third and fourth dimensional reality like Earth has been, if we don't have all this diversity to pick from, what would we... The contrast, in other words, the things that frustrate you and anger you and rile you, and, you know, I mean, those are the things that force you to really focus your creative energy on what you want next, because you're very clear on what you don't want, right?
Yeah, which unfortunately works just the opposite of what I get, because I'm saying this is what I don't want, but the universe, as it's been described to me in the Law of Attraction, says, be careful what you ask for, because if you don't ask it in the right way, for example, if I say, I don't want debt, guess what I'm getting? I'm getting debt, because I'm not focusing on abundance. I'm focusing on debt. So what you're saying is really true.
Well, I want to refine that a little bit.
Please, please.
You know, maybe that'll help you. It's more what you're pushing against or resisting. So if you're resisting something, if you're resisting... if you're resisting cancer, if you're fearing, fear is resistance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And inflammation in your body reflects the resistance that you are harboring at an unconscious level. So if you think about all of the diseases that a third, fourth dimensional reality entails, most of them have to do with inflammation, which has to do with resistance, which has to do with fear. So really, the bottom line is you have to release your fear. You have to bring that fragment of your soul that has split off to explore resistance and fear, because that was the assignment in a separation reality. That's the assignment. Go forth and have these experiences in separation. So we all went forth many times. We have all been the victim of rape, let's say, and we have all been the raper. We have all been betrayed, and we have been the betrayer. We've played every role you can think of. So when you are really triggered by somebody or something, let's say betrayal is your issue, and you're real sensitive to it, and these sorts of things keep coming up, you know, mm-hmm. your kid lies, and you see it as a betrayal, or your boss promotes somebody else, and you've been a good friend, and you see that as a betrayal. So life is giving you the mirror of what is still unconscious within you in order to bring up and love back into oneness. This is like in the lifetime of your soul, you sent out a fragment of yourself like a soldier onto the battlefield of third, fourth dimension, and now we're in the time of no man left behind. We got to go get all of our fragmented soul parts off the battlefield of third, fourth dimensional Earth and bring them home. But usually these are parts of ourselves we don't want to admit, you know. We are in self-righteous indignation, you know. These child traffickers, they're heinous. And, you know, well, guess what? You did that, you know. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you wouldn't be that triggered.
Yeah.
But to understand and love that piece of yourself as a brave soldier that went forth in the mission of separation and carried out God's directive or the will of the one, they never did anything wrong. They went and explored and got data and sent it back to the mainframe, right? That's what they were supposed to do.
Yeah.
But if you're harboring shame or guilt or, whatever, denial or hatred or fear or any of that stuff, these are the parts you have to lovingly bring back into oneness with your own self-love and your own self-compassion. And I promise you, if you do this, you will never condemn another person.
Mm.
You just see everything differently. You see all of us in the same Titanic, you know? We're all in the same boat. It's called the Titanic of human ego mind, third, fourth dimensional human ego mind separated from God. And the lifeboat is higher consciousness of oneness. That's it. That's the only lifeboat there is.
The only thing that troubles me about your theory is the fact that then I have to take 100% responsibility for my life. I don't want to do that.
There are a lot of people that feel that way.
Honest,
and that is truly what everybody, that's our biggest hurdle, is that acceptance.
That's it. Yeah.
That's it. And once you get that, and really there was a lot to get out of being a victim, because you could always blame somebody else. Somebody else did this to me, you know. But you never had to acknowledge that you had a matching vibration. So if you got raped, it's because you had a victim mentality that matched the perpetrator's mentality of rape. So you got together to do a really sick tango, right?
And what's interesting about that is you could only speak to people of like mind who have raised their consciousness to a level to understand that. People who are, in a manner of speaking, who are not in that frame of mind, if you will, or frame of soul or spirit, they're going to say, "What, you mean to tell me that I asked for it because of the way that I dressed or this or that or the other?" And if I'm hearing you correctly, the answer to that question, but on a higher level, is yes, you did, because of what you just said. Your vibration matched the vibration of the perpetrator, as we are putting the roles down in the script here.
Well, let me ease it a little bit, because yes, that is exactly right, but it's usually unconscious.
Right, right.
So in that regard, even the perpetrator is responding unconsciously,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
So they're a perfect match to do this tango, but this tango and its result, he's going to feel at some point sickened by what he does.
Yeah.
And this victim is going to at some point say, "This is the seventh time this has happened to me," you know, or whatever. And they begin to ask the question, why did I walk down that street when I had the thought or the impulse to go onto the main street? Or in other words, Your inner guidance, your soul, your spirit is always saying, come this way. Come this way. And the human ego mind overrides it. But that's the game of third, fourth dimension, to grow a soul, to look within, to start following their own guidance, and then add on the layer of society's collective unconscious belief. Like right now, this society right now worldwide still believes in victims and perpetrators. I mean,
yeah.
And anybody who's in the awakening movement, I don't know if you're familiar with the QAnon movement, and so I see the levels of their awakening, and they learn this bad news. They learn all this nefarious stuff that's been going on and manipulating humanity for years. And now their first response is anger and vengeance, and they want to see people arrested. They want to see them hung. They want to see them, you know, decapitated or whatever it is, you know.
Uh-huh.
But the more you address that part of you that is triggered by this, and you love this fragment back into oneness, back into oneness, I promise you, you come to a neutral position or compassion, because you now have compassion for this part of yourself that was that awful thing.
Yeah. You know, you said something earlier, and I want to touch upon this before we go to our first break here, in reference to harboring the resentments and so on and so forth. And it's very interesting, because I had a series of 2 or 3 weeks where I was doing 1 or 2 interviews a day for 4 days in the week, 3 or 4 days in the week. And I was feeling great, and I was having a great time, and I was still doing all the other stuff that, you know, that I need to do. And then I hit a lull. And all of a sudden, for the last two or three weeks after that, I've had a lower backache. My left elbow, I can, if I were left-handed, my hair would be an inch or 2 inches long, because I wouldn't be able to shave. I couldn't bend my elbow to do that. Which, by the way, is ironically the way that I came up with how I ended up with the beard and mustache about 5 or 7 or 8 years ago. My right elbow, I'm right-handed, so my right elbow wouldn't bend, so I had to let it grow. And I kept the beard and mustache, but continued to shave the head. Anyway, you talked about inflammation in reference to those emotions, in reference to those elements. You know, and I thought, as I was starting to piece that together after you said that, I'm thinking, well, wait a minute, this has been going on for the last maybe 2 weeks to 10 days. I went to an acupuncturist who did cupping. He did this, he did that, a little massage. I felt pretty good afterwards, but it didn't take, you know. And it's not that he's not any good. He's fabulous. He's great.
Right.
But I realized that my mind was being distracted by all of that dualism that's going on specifically in our country right now. And I'm thinking, man, I need to load up my schedule with more interviews so I can stay focused on those kinds of things that I want to stay focused on, instead of that, I'm sorry, but that garbage that I don't need in my life that tends to generate in me those emotions like other people. And I kind of just put that together and I'm going, wow, didn't realize that.
So here's the deal. Now, what happened was, and is happening, is that it illuminated these subconscious parts of you that need to be brought home and loved back into oneness. So I don't know exactly which interviews started triggering you. It's not that we can't or shouldn't look at it. Ignorance is not bliss.
Oh, it's not, and it has nothing to do with ignorance, because I'm very well aware. This is, I tell people, I don't want or need to watch the news. I know that for as long as man's been on the planet, he's been mean to himself, his fellow man, okay? That
right.
You can change the names, the dates, the places, but the atrocities from minor to major, the rapes, the killings, the stealings, the on and on and on and on, they've been going on. Why do I need to fill my head with that information? I know it's going on. Because that's just the way we seem to be right now, where the consciousness collectively at that level, that's where that is. So why do I need to inundate my ears and eyes and so forth with that information? I'm very much aware and saddened by the fact that that's still going on. We haven't been able to progress forward from that.
Okay, so you're going to keep reacting to it until you have actually resolved your own fragmented soul parts, until you have actually brought them home into oneness and integrated them. So I say this to you from firsthand experience. I think, I mean, for me, my whole life has been about realizing the separation. I mean, it's been a pretty bumpy ride for me. So I started many years ago. The only thing I knew before I actually awakened was there was this sort of mandate inside of me that I knew I had to love more on the other side of this challenge than I did going in. In other words, you love at a certain level, and then they betray you, or this happens, or whatever, and now you have the opportunity to integrate this fragment so that it doesn't ever happen to you again. So my experience with looking at all these disclosures has been more incremental, I'd say, than a lot of people. So I've been at it a longer time, let's put it that way. I'm not having to swallow the fire hose method that's going on right now.
I like that.
Yeah, and it's a lot.
Well, because it can cause you literally, if not just figuratively, to explode.
Exactly. So for a while, once you get on to what this external drama is asking you to do, is go in and love the part of you that is in resistance to this reality, and love it back into oneness and wholeness, whatever that is. And it's a fairly simple process now. It wasn't years ago, but you know, before 2012, and especially the recent years when the energies now from heaven or the company of heaven or whatever you want to call it are in total support of it. It was hard work, you know, 30, 20 years ago, 40 years ago. Now, literally, all you have to do when you're triggered is stop. Just stop right there. If you're in the middle of a meeting, if you're in the middle of dinner, if you're, you know, whatever, and you breathe deeply, you go into that wounded part, you put your hands on your heart and say, I love you, I'm here, I love you. I feel your pain, I feel your anger, I feel your dis-ease. I am so sorry you feel this way. Thank you for your service, and you can come home now. And you might have to do this 1,000 times a day for a couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're going to start to see that you've like really integrated a lot, and now you sort of can resume your normal quote unquote life, and it won't be what you resume. What you resume won't be what you've been doing, because now you'll be free of a whole lot of other beliefs that you've been harnessed into that were unconscious.
Kathy,
you start asking yourself more conscious questions. What else do I believe that they had me believe so that I could play this game? And then you realize when you get deeper into it and you start to actually maybe go into your Akashic record, or you start to actually communicate directly with your higher self, you can say, what did I put into my blueprint so that I would not pop out of the game? Like a weight belt. For a scuba diver, you know, mm-hmm. If you're a light being and you are awakened and you come into a third, fourth dimensional reality, you know, you built in different belief systems and memories and things so that you wouldn't pop out and blow the game.
Ah.
So now you go in and you go, okay, what was I thinking? And you learn to dialogue with yourself. You learn to trust your intuition. You learn to maybe you start journaling, and if you've ever journaled and asked questions and then just stayed with it long enough, you'll notice when the language changes and the consciousness changes and the wisdom starts to come in. And it's bringing you home to the oneness with your higher self, which is right there. Now, what happens is every time you clear from mental, emotional, spiritual or physical memory, something that is not of oneness, not of love, you kind of create a vacancy. And the vacancy in the space you're creating within your DNA and your cellular memory and all that is now able to be filled with your I Am presence. Your soul itself starts to take up residence. So whereas all these fragmented soul parts before, let's say we collectively call them ego, let's just collectively call them the human ego mind, you start resolving them and they integrate into your soul. They leave a space so that your I Am presence can now take up residence. And at some point, your I Am presence is in the pilot seat and your ego is in the co-pilot seat.
Well, I want to take a break here to, and we'll continue this this discussion because I think it's very important. I mean, there's that facetious part of me that's going, yeah, that's all fine and well, but I still don't want to take responsibility. And the reality is that somewhere down the road, I'll be honest with you, this is what I found very, very true for my life, Kathy, is that, and I used to use this. Again, facetiously as a warning at the end of the program, and I stopped doing it because someone said it was kind of a mean thing to do. I didn't think it was mean. I just thought it was sort of appropriate that once you've heard the information, you can't unhear it. You're going to have to deal with it.
Right.
And we lay out, as we say, this smorgasbord, this huge table of ideas and concepts, and we ask people to come and partake. Take, as I said earlier, if it resonates with you, then take it and run with it. If it doesn't, don't touch it. Wait, maybe after you've had a chance to assimilate some of the other things, then maybe come back and check it again. But it's the same kind of thing with like what you're sharing with me now with our listeners as well. It's like, okay, now I've got to deal with this. I will tell you that for the sake of the discomfort that I feel in my physical body, I want to get to the other side of this thing because I'm quite honestly, I'm really getting tired of the waxing and the waning of all of this. It's like there's a couple of weeks, oh, I'm feeling great. I'm walking up and down State Street, going down to the beach and having a great. And then there are other days, I'll take the trolley.
Right.
Well, we're going to continue
you're
this.
Getting tired of the limitation.
That's it. We're going to be coming right back. We're talking with Kathy Kirk. She's got a couple of cute little books, and I think they'll be a lot of fun for you folks if you pick them up. Well Done. It's a story of applied spirituality. We're going to jump into that as well with a foreword by Ken Blanchard, also co-author of The 1 Minute Manager. I think we've had him on the program many years ago. And then also The Earthling's Quick Start Guide, Master Operating Your Unit on Earth. It is a story. It is a short refresher course in applied spirituality. We're going to jump into that area as well as we continue here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Don't go away.
Tell me your stories.
And welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I am joined by my guest today, Kathy Kirk. She is sharing with us concepts I think pretty cool because, I mean, anytime I see titles like this or websites with the name Applied Spirituality, it's so intriguing to me. And before we jump back in, let me ask you some questions, folks. Do you feel that your life isn't going anywhere? Do you feel like something's missing in your life, like you're not, like you've lost yourself. You put everyone first and can't find time for yourselves. That religion isn't helping you, or that you feel the need for something more. That you have relationship problems. You can't find your soulmate. You're stuck in a dead end job or doing a job that you love. You are not doing a job that you love, and you have money issues, you have health or weight problems, you're unhappy, and I could go on because the list goes on, but you know, what's it going to hurt? I often say this to folks when it comes to these kinds of concepts, what have you got to lose? But the pain and the frustration and the angst and the anguish and the fear when pursuing some of these ideas. And in this case, we're talking about a Messenger mini book series with a complete free, did you hear that, folks? Free, there is no dollar sign, online course. And of course, we're talking about the two little books, one's actually literally smaller than the other. Well Done, it's a story of applied spirituality. And then the other one by Kathy Kirke, The Earthling's Quick Start Guide. And I have to say that I'm working on my book, Kathy, and the Quick Start Guide size, it's about the size I'm looking for my book. And yet, so far I haven't found the template for quite that size. But this applied spirituality, the opposite of that, of course, is unapplied. In other words, we just continue to take in more and more information. We read more and more books. We go to more and more seminars. We seek out more and more gurus or, you know, individuals, mentors. But we don't really put anything into practice. And that's it. It's often when I say, I also, again, another one of those, I don't know, maybe my problem is I learned the word facetious from my mother, who constantly would say to me, "Will you stop being so facetious?" And if, folks, if you don't know what that is, Google it. Maybe maybe that's my problem. But I often say to people, look, If you're talking to me about how you get these promptings, you hear the still small voice inside, don't you think it would behoove you to not just listen, but to follow those promptings? And you shared a wonderful example, and mine, of course, is when I was bicycling, when I used to bicycle before I was able to drive. I was on my way to work, and I was living in Phoenix, and I was living in a trailer park, and I was heading down the road past one farm field after another, because that's how far out west the transmitter site was. And I got this prompting. Okay, up at the next corner, make a right. Up at the next corner, make a right. I'm going, what? That's a straight shot from where I'm at. I went a half mile past that corner, a half mile. And that prompting got stronger and stronger. I kid you not, I turned around. I went back. I made the turn. I went up a block. I went down a block. I came down to the same street I was on a block further. And these were mile long blocks, these farm fields. And then I headed on to work. I don't know what I missed. I don't know if it was a test to see if I would trust. And all I know is that that was a prompting that it just wouldn't go away. And I've had those on occasion, but I have never let them go quite that far in the sense. What about our intuition or that still small voice? And I've heard different definitions that say that is not necessarily the divine per se. That's not necessarily God, big G, that's your personal, individual, higher self. And I'm thinking, what's the difference? They're all connected.
Good question. Well, you have a unique soul. So what your soul uniquely needs to experience or has programmed, remember, we're back in the cosmic travel office, you know, and you've got your Earth brochure. Now you go to these other different places and you sit with your mighty I Am presence, and you sit with maybe a representative of the big G or whatever. And within the parameters of what this soul still needs to experience is sort of more defines who you're going to pick as your parents and what kind of journey you're going to have, who you're going to marry. So in a sense, it's all laid out before you get there, but you laid it out. You know, nothing external to you laid it out. You laid it out because you wanted to experience something. You needed to. So the big G, if there is a big G, because I honestly don't know. I mean, to me, God is an it now because it's so big that my wee third, fourth dimensional brain can't really wrap around on how huge it is. So it's certainly not to me an old man with a beard. So, you know, it encompasses, it's so huge. I mean, it is science. It is this universe and the other seven universes. It's it's infinite, and it keeps expanding because we keep expanding. So I don't know. I mean, there's always more to this mystery, which I guess is why I love this so much, this work so much. Where was I going to go with this? The intuition.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, your mighty I Am presence is sort of the God of your physical beingness, your physical body, mind, and your soul. It's the God representation of your soul, the highest part, and it's connected to the big G, whatever that might be, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, everybody's got to figure out certain things and level of wisdom, and so you're going to get a different intuition than I would, let's say. We had maybe the same intention on certain things. Like, we all have the intention, let's say, to for ease and flow, or for to avoid, to live a happy life that's free of violence, let's say. Let's say that. So now you're on, this is where I go, where I learned a lot of mine. I was on a road trip going back to San Diego from Ithaca, where I had just graduated. And so I was on a road trip in my Jeep, and my it was sort of like my own Outward Bound adventure. And my only rule to myself was, is if I was afraid of it, I had to do it. In other words, if I like whitewater rafting or something like that, you know, and I took all back roads. And I learned what it felt like to be in oneness with my I Am presence. I got so good at, I could come up upon a hitchhiker and sort of just ask inside, yes or no, pick him up, yes, no. And it was nothing but perfection. You know, I was in alignment with my own well-being, with my own highest self. It was truly the first time that I'd ever really experienced that, you know. And you have to trust it. You don't have to trust it. At first you play with it, you know, like you did. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this. And often you don't even know what it was you avoided, you know. Let's take, for example, 9/11, because today's 9/11. Think of the people that had an internal prompt that said, make love to your wife this morning and miss the train into the city. And they followed that feel-good prompt because your inner guidance always brings you to, it's pulling you towards good feeling stuff. It's never warning you off. It's never saying, oh no, bad, you know. It's just saying, oh, come this way, you know. Maybe you're hiking in the woods and you go, oh, look at that butterfly, and you start to follow the butterfly, and you don't know that you just missed the bear's den if you'd gone the other way. You'll never know those things till you get to the other side, right?
Yeah.
But if you start playing with a little bit and you become aware of your prompt, which is really what this life is about, is becoming more aware of awareness. So you asked me in the very beginning, who are we? We are awareness. So if you become more aware of your awareness and that information that's coming from the field for you, filtered through your individual life plan, soul plan, whatever, that you worked out before you got here, you know, you're going to, you practice with it until you finally go, you know, once I got divorced, I said to myself, now I understand what that feels like when you are in the presence of something that is not in alignment with truth, beauty, goodness, love, kindness. It's sort of, I call it the get out of the bank feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm in the world, And if I feel that feeling of get out of the bank, and it's a feeling like, you know, Forrest Gump, run, Forrest, run.
Right.
I don't even stick around anymore to figure it out. I don't need to. I just know that if I feel that, it's like this is not in alignment with your highest good. So remove yourself.
Yeah.
And that's in anything. It could be a phone call. It could be, you know, an interaction in a grocery, or it doesn't matter. It's like when your whole aura bumps up against an aura that has a really different frequency than yours, lower frequency. You don't ignore it anymore, and your ego mind might be saying, like, look, like it could, like yours probably said to you, it'd be straighter if you just go straight. Why are you doing this big box thing that, you know?
That's what I said.
Exactly. The logical mind is going to try to argue it out. But that quiet impulse, that inspiration is fleeting and soothing and lovely. And then the ego just mows right over it with its logic.
Mm. You know, something just occurred to me, too, and I'm going back to what you said earlier in the first segment about this issue of holding inside a lot of the stuff that we hold in, and then, of course, the physical manifestations therein. And I find it real interesting, the people who seem to take on a lifestyle of supposedly eating all of the right things and maybe taking certain supplements to help their body to do its thing and to maximize the efficiency of the machine, so to speak, and on and on and on, kind of like doing regular oil changes on your car. And yet some of these people are the ones who end up with a lot of the diseases. And it's like, wait a minute, you've been taking such great care of yourself. What happened? And it just dawned on me, it has nothing to do with what they've been consuming to try to keep their bodies healthy. It has to do with what they've been holding on to inside.
And there it is.
And
there
And I hit something. Something over the weekend I want to share.
Sure.
Over the weekend, I'm in the process of downsizing, and I've got two file cabinets full of stuff. And in there, I have my 4-inch thick, kid you not, 4-inch thick file for divorce. And so I began shredding it, with the exception of the decree, which I don't know how long you're supposed to hold on to that thing. I started shredding everything, but every so often I'd pull out a piece of paper and I'd read some of the letters that my attorney was sending to her attorney and back and forth. I came across a couple of emails that her best friend sent to me. And I started reading some of this stuff and all of the guilt that she was trying to heap onto me and all so forth. And I started feeling bad. I mean, this has been 20 years. This has been 20 years. And it took me about 2 hours to come to the realization, oh, wait a minute, everything that she's accusing me of causing in my ex-wife told me during some personal growth development program, one of these 5-day intensives, where they sat us down in a circle. Everybody got into a circle. They dimmed the lights. She's sitting there with two people on either side of her, I guess to protect her because they didn't know how I would react to the news. And the news was basically that she brought all of this stuff with her into the relationship. It took me a couple of hours to finally get to that place where I realized, wait a minute, I didn't do this, you know?
Right.
And again,
right.
This email's 20 years old.
Right.
So it's like, why am I getting all emotionally charged over this thing, which I then shredded? I realized that, you know, just, you know, you've gone on for 20 years without any problems. You don't need to add to that by taking this on, because this wasn't yours to take on. She made those choices early on. Again, that was probably in her contract before she came into this life.
Right.
You know, and she is going to do what she's going to do, and there's nothing I can do about it. That's why this circle was set up, and then she started sharing this stuff with me, which at the time I thought, are you kidding me? In a supposedly safe place where, you know, people aren't revealing, you know, they're not going to disclose this to the general public. It's not going to go in the news. And so I find that interesting that every once in a while we'll have an experience. Maybe there'll be a smell that drifts, wafts by, or a car with a particular color, or a sound or a song, and it will elicit a particular, you know, event that took place, again, decades ago. And those emotions, they're as fresh as they were the day they happened.
So that is a review. So here it is 20 years down the road, and you're clearing out this file cabinet, and your soul says, let's take a trip down memory lane here and see if there's anything here that you still need to resolve yet. Mm. And it's just the opportunity to bring anything subconscious to the conscious mind. And as you saw, as you were reading that email, you were reminded that she came in with this stuff, right?
Yeah.
Not only did she come into the marriage with it, but my guess is that she came into this incarnation with it in order to resolve it in this life.
Yeah. And so that leads me to a broader perspective. When we start hearing about and seeing the various things that are going on, whether it be in our town, our city, our state, our nation, or the world, I don't think that there's anything wrong with being compassionate for a certain situation. You know, you hear these tragedies, whether it be the events of the 11th of September of 2001 or any other event. We look back with sadness. Okay, I get that. But a lot of times it then will generate some of the emotions that came after that. And, you know, some people, they got into rage, and some of them, they enlisted and off they went to do whatever it is that they felt they were going to do. And again, it goes back to what you said just a few minutes ago, how they contracted to do these things. Now,
Right. Just
because we contracted to do these things, does that mean the contract is written in concrete and it can never be changed? Or is there a way for us to, I don't know, renegotiate through mediation or something, some of these terms of the contract, saying, look, I really don't want to go through this because I just don't want to go through it. I don't necessarily have to justify it, I suppose. It's just, I don't want to go through it.
There's no more karma now unless you decide you want to create karma. There are no more contracts that you have to consciously renounce and break them. And you are free will being here. You can stay asleep as long as you want to stay asleep, and you can wake up any moment you want to wake up. It's all your decision. If you are consciously aware that you're breaking a contract and why you're breaking it, it's like, holy moly, I made this contract so that I would have these feelings and I would stay in the third, fourth dimensional consciousness. And now I understand I'm part of the one. I don't need this anymore.
Yeah.
You know, so you'll know when you get to that level. I'm pretty sure that you can't break a contract until you've learned the lesson of it. In other words, you know, you agreed unconsciously to do that sick waltz with your ex-wife and have your feelings to poke you awake, and she has her feelings to poke her awake. And once you have done that, some people do it in the midst of it. Some people do it incrementally over the years. It just depends on how much you want to make yourself suffer.
Yeah.
When you're done, when you love yourself enough to not allow yourself to suffer anymore, because that just is telling you, you have a piece of your soul that's still living a third, fourth dimensional reality.
Yeah.
Bring it home.
Yeah.
Bring it into oneness. Bring it into a fifth dimensional reality, and it dissolves all the misunderstandings or the misbeliefs.
Right.
It's a conscious process.
Right.
You know,
it's not
a magical process.
No.
It's a conscious process.
And yes, you do have to face the reality of what was, and realize that it was past tense as far as our linear time's concerned, and that you're a different person than you were then. And I have to say that 15 years ago, in some conversations that I had, and they were very sporadic with my ex-wife, I apologized for bringing any additional discomfort, And I reminded her that in spite of the whole process, I have never stopped loving her. Not in the way that I was in relationship with her, but that I still cared. And I just wanted her, and I've let her know that. So that's kind of where we are there. I want to thank you so much for sharing time. We're fast approaching the end of our time here. I want to have you back again. We've got so much more that we could talk about because you've got great resources available. I'm going to do what I can. I try to take advantage when I can of certain things that come my way through this program. Your free online course is one of those that I'm going to take my time to go through. Because I would really like to get through some of this stuff and just say goodbye to it. And thank you so much for your service. But I'm retiring you. So I want to let our listeners know they can go to AppliedSpirituality.com and they can get a copy of both books, Well Done, which is a story of applied spirituality, as well as The Earthling's Guide, Quick Start Guide. And we encourage you to pick up a copy. Kathy Kirk has been my guest. And before I let you go, I would like to invite you, should you find yourself out here in the Santa Barbara area, we'd love to have you in studio to continue this conversation.
You know, I lived in Southern California for over 30 years. And when I finally made my escape, it's like, I don't usually return, you know. It's like been there, done that. I'm sort of looking forward to, I don't know, Tuscany, you know.
Hey, you know, well, we'll do it via Skype. I'm not, or I'll come to you, okay?
You might love Ohio. It's actually a beautiful place.
Well, it's not far from Missouri. I have a dear friend who's there going through some struggles himself, and so maybe I'll make a visit in that regard. Also, I want to let our listeners know, again, AppliedSpirituality.com is the website. Well Done is the one book, and we encourage you to go to her website and check all this out. And also,
I want to say one more thing.
Please.
If you go to the website, on the home page, there's a sign-up box.
I saw it.
To get on my list. But you get for that a free online course without buying the book. You can buy the books, and that's more an in-depth look at who you are and what you're trying to accomplish. And I encourage that. But you can sign up for the free online course, which is 105 messages that has an exercise to apply the message, to actually have a new viewpoint, and then apply the message, and then a quote to consider in a new way. Because all of this is about gaining a higher perspective over and over again until we have the perspective of source energy that loves everything.
Absolutely. Well, I encourage folks to go to their website, Applied Spirituality, to check that out. We have three final questions for you before we let you go, and they are in this order. Who is Kathy Kirk?
Starseed and lightworker and source energy, having a physical experience on Earth.
What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you're doing now?
Just to be a lighthouse for people. Just to be a lighthouse. If you envision what a lighthouse does, it just holds the light and it helps the boat to avoid the rocks and to find the light and the truth and the beauty and the goodness of being.
And finally, what is your life's purpose?
Joy.
I like that. So many more questions, save for another program. We'll have you back on maybe before the end of this year. And again, Kathy Kirk, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Richard. It's been a pleasure.
I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We are giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. And if you can help make our dreams come true by supporting this program in any way that you possibly can, go to our missions page. We also have the link on the homepage to a PayPal account. If you'd like to support what we're doing here, it's greatly appreciated. And even we'll take energetic healing and support and all of that good stuff as well. So nothing is left to waste, if you will. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story. And until next time, love Talal.